There is that delicate but powerful fine line that distinguishes itself from the end of a Sousa march and the beginning of chamber music. It is known as wind ensemble. It was as late as 1952 that a faculty member of the University of Rochester's Eastman School of Music, Frederick Fennell, came up with the idea of scaling the typical concert band down to the wind section of a symphony orchestra. That's how it all started. At our own music department, the Wind Ensemble of Lehigh University offers Heroes All, music to honor veterans in commemoration of the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. This is WDIY 88.1 Allentown, Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. Today, we chat with David Diggs, director of the Wind Ensemble at Lehigh. Mr. Diggs is internationally recognized for his research of the band music of the Civil War and has a distinguished career as a woodwind specialist. He is also a master oboe musician. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful. We were just saying earlier, we were chatting a little bit before coming on the air. It was hard to tear ourselves away and come into the studio.
Well, we do have to work every now and then.
Yeah,
I just have a quick wanted to remind our listening audience the concert that George had mentioned, Heroes All, music to honor our veterans in commemoration of the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, is Sunday, May 3rd at 3 o'clock at Baker Hall at Zollner Arts Center. And get tickets through the box office. Students are free. And David, what prompted this as a theme or this moment for this music?
Well, I think it was probably influenced by my interest in the band music of the Civil War era. 4 years ago, we started the sesquicentennial with a big program where we played music that was indigenous to the time or from the time. And we did sort of sets at that particular time. We did a whole Lincoln set. Honor to Our Soldiers was a piece that was supposed to be played the night he was assassinated. And we played that piece, and we followed his funeral train. And I had researched some of the music along the path of the funeral train and found a march, a funeral march that had been played in Ohio, and we played that. And so carrying through each concert that we've had program notes about what happened on that particular date during the Civil War. We didn't actually play music all 4 years, but we always had a little note. And we partnered with the Historical Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
They had a very good program in 2011 to start all of this. And so this is the end of the Civil War. April 9th, 1865, is when General Lee surrendered his troops at Appomattox. And then following that, April 14th, 1865, Lincoln was assassinated, dying the next morning. And so all during this time, between mid-April through late May, even into June, we find the Civil War winding down as various Confederate armies finally give up and surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And Reconstruction begins.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're closing off the sesquicentennial with this concert, and I thought that this would be a good time to honor all veterans as well, not just the Civil War veterans.
So the first half of the offering is based around the Civil War.
Yeah, it's all music from the Civil War era or from bands of that time.
And then the second section commemorates more of all veterans.
All veterans, yeah. And for instance, Prayer and Jubilation is a piece by Jack Stamp based on the hymn for the Air Force. Mm. Esprit de Corps is obviously for the Marines by Robert Jager. Fascinating piece. And the various other ones in that half all commemorate. For instance, American Visions, which opens the second half of the program, was written for Walker's father, who was a Vietnam veteran. So we've tried to pull different pieces in.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we can bring up more of the, or talk about more of the actual pieces that are being played in the first. But first I have to ask you a question. I wanted to ask it to you before, but I thought, well, I'll wait till I'm live on air.
Thank you.
And that is, when you were 8 or 9 years old, Did you dream of becoming a director of a wind ensemble?
Had no idea.
No, no idea.
8 or 9, I think I was studying miserably the violin. I am a violin dropout.
Oh.
And it wasn't, I picked up the oboe at age 12 and then started playing professionally at age 14. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think it wasn't until college. Well, high school. Frederick Fennell was brought to conduct our high school band.
Oh.
I grew up in Oklahoma City, and so that was a big influence.
Yeah.
And it was really it was quite special for me once I became a college band director and was going to the college band director conventions. Fennell was always there, and so he would graciously give me a few minutes of his time, and we could get caught up and talk about things that he or I were interested in and whatnot, because he was also very interested in the Civil War band music.
Right.
So,
and as an oboist, what makes a young person seize an oboe? I mean, I played a clarinet when I was about that age, but it was one of these silver metal clarinets.
Oh, yeah.
And I always wanted the wooden one, and my mom and dad would never get me that, so I just dropped it. I thought I wanted a nice black ebony.
Well, you know, those metal ones are very valuable now.
Are they really?
Oh, yes. They were made by Haynes Flute Company, a lot of them.
Oh, wow. But I couldn't
out of silver.
I couldn't make them sound as good as they should. Why oboe?
Well, as I remember the story, I remember my dad, the band director, was recruiting before sixth grade. At that time, we had junior high and high school.
Mm-hmm.
It was recruiting, so my dad and I went up to see the band director, and he had my academic records, and they had some other all kinds of stuff about me. And he looked at me, he said, "You're an oboe player."
Oh.
I said, "Oh, okay." My dad said, "Yeah, I think," because my dad knew instruments. He had been a bass clarinet player in his high school and everything.
Okay.
He knew that oboe players were not very plentiful at that particular time, and so I might get a college scholarship or something like that. He never intended for me to be a musician, but if he had only known, he probably wouldn't have recommended that I play the oboe, but I'm thankful that he did.
Well, thank you for answering that question. I'm always intrigued by why people choose certain instruments, you know.
Well, I didn't choose it.
No.
It chose me.
Back to the actual offering that will be on May the 3rd at 3 p.m. at Baker Hall at Zollner. Kate had brought up this one, the Northampton Quickstep.
Well, we were talking a little bit about, I was looking at some of the, from the first half of the concert, which is Civil War centric.
Yes.
A piece caught my eye, Northampton Quickstep. I thought, Northampton, that's interesting. Thomas Coates, did a little Googling. I'm not a wind ensemble expert. I was pleasantly surprised to find out he's local. He's from Easton and had quite a story.
Yeah, born in Easton and went off, as you discovered, he joined the circus and then he settled in New York City for a while. He was the second in command in the Dodworth organization, which is a big brass band. You know, they played parties and marches and militia and all that sort of stuff before the Civil War. And he became very famous as a composer of marches, quick steps they were called.
Mm-hmm.
It's noted that at some point he had 6 copyists working for him. So he was very prolific. And then he came back to Easton shortly before the Civil War to take over Pomp's brass band. And that band actually joined when the call came. They joined the Union forces for the 47th Pennsylvania Regiment. And they served until mid-1862.
Okay.
And then for the rest of the war, he wrote pieces for bands, Union bands. It was a very interesting process. Discovered that they didn't make scores. You know, today we think of music being published with scores. When they were sending music stuff, you would just get each part on a little piece of paper. It wasn't even a full sheet of paper.
Really?
You know, it's just as much paper as it took to write the part, and you get a little packet of parts. I discovered this in a set of Wisconsin books, the Broadhead books. And so they would then copy these things into the band books.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they disseminated the music at that time.
And then you are the composer of Hushed Be the Camps Today from Echoes of Glory. Echoes of Glory.
Yes. There was a large piece that I wrote in 2003 based on original band music from the Civil War. And what I tried to do with Echoes of Glory was to document the performance of each of those pieces and to write, to find some quote about the piece or some history of the piece or where a specific time and place that it was played and describe that. So it's Echoes of Glory is a four-movement piece. It's quite long, actually. I don't know how I managed to write all that music. But so the first movement is Prelude to the Storm, and that's all music that comes before the Civil War, but brass band music. Hush Be the Camps, which we're going to be playing on the concert on Sunday, right, is the funeral music, some of the funeral music, mm-hmm, and each of the pieces, I have a snippet or a quote about where it was played, whose funeral it was played for, that sort of thing. The third movement is more, it's a lighter music from the Civil War. And then the last movement is music from each of the military things. Like there's Dixie, there's Star Spangled Banner, mm-hmm, there's some trumpet voluntaries and stuff that are, you know, the military part or mm-hmm, the patriotic part mm-hmm of the Civil War music. Right.
And then the New York 7th Regiment is a overtitle, so embracing a few pieces here. Skyrockets March, Champagne Gallop, etc.
The New York 7th Regiment, the band is famous probably because of both the quality of the band and their bandmaster, okay, Claudio Grifuglia, mm-hmm, who was born in Menorca, immigrated to the United States, and became the director of the 7th Regiment band. The 7th Regiment itself was a very elite militia group, Vanderbilts, Hamiltons, Gracies. It was called the Silk Stocking Regiment.
Uh-huh.
You had to have a lot of money to join. But besides being the wealthy individuals of New York City, they were very well trained in military arts. In fact, over 600 officers of various regiments came from the New York 7th Regiment. Mm. So it was a very important regiment, and the band was incredible. And so I've been trying to find the music, and I happened to come across the music finally after several years of searching. And so we're doing a segment, I guess it's probably half of the first program, of music that's from the New York 7th Regiment band.
Mm-hmm. And there was an interesting story about how you came upon this music and what you found when you did even more research.
Well, there was an intimation back at the centennial time, which is 1961. I'm still in the 19th century, sorry. About there might have been the music of the band might exist. And so in my various researches and everything, the armory still stands at 69th and Park. Mm-hmm. And it's gone through various growing pains and whatnot. And recently it was taken over by a historical society to rebuild the regiment, the armory, and repurpose its use and whatnot. And so I got in touch with the director, and she let me come and just poke around stuff. And I found some notations about where the music might be. So after many phone calls, I discovered the music sitting in a closet in the Student Union Building at Fordham University, piled all in, no catalog whatsoever of it.
No official records.
No official records. Amazing. Nobody knew it was there.
Yeah, that's always amazing when you find something that no one has seen for the last 200 years.
It was a nice find.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure it was. We have more to talk to you about the Wind Ensemble at Lehigh University. It's happening Sunday, May the 3rd at 3 p.m., Baker Hall, and, of course, Lehigh at Zollner Arts Center. And you can be a part of it, our listeners, by calling 610-758-2787 or just contact Zollner and ask them about Heroes All, the Wind Ensemble at Lehigh University. We shall be further intrigued by Mr. Diggs' adventure with the New York City Ballet Orchestra, the New York Philharmonic, and the Moiseev Russian Ballet. In addition to his recordings for radio, TV jingles, motion pictures, and recordings, we'll hear more right after this salient message.
WDIY invites you to the TEDx Lehigh River Salon at the Levitt Pavilion, Steel Stacks, in Bethlehem. Free and open to the community, the event features presentations from three local thought leaders offering ideas meant to challenge the way you see the Lehigh Valley and the world. Monday, May 4th, starting at 7:30 p.m. Further information at TEDx Lehigh River on Facebook.
Who is Proud Songs of the Storm. And, of course, that was written by Mr. Diggs.
Well, it was compiled by me. It's actually that Dixie is from the 26th North Carolina Band Books.
I thought so, because you weren't around in 1860.
Not that I'm aware of. I may look old. But.
No.
I'm curious. You say it as though, do you find the different bands, why don't you start digging into the individual bands and their stories, their history, the music, do different bands have that distinctively different arrangements often?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Huh. There are some common arrangements. If the bands happen, and I think we mentioned earlier that Thomas Coates was writing, Gruffieux was writing for the War Department.
Right.
But there are only 7 complete band books in existence now. I was sort of hoping that the 150th would turn up some more, but nothing has turned up.
Mm-hmm.
But so there is there are a couple of common pieces in the things. In the different band books. For instance, Amethusia, which closes Hush Be the Camps,
mm-hmm.
There are a couple of versions of that, and I've actually found notations and diaries about how they met with a band and copied out of their band mm-hmm. books the particular tunes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in the main, each band book, except for a few exceptions, and they may have like tunes but not similar arrangements. And actually what I wanted to do when I first got interested is I wanted to trace the lineage or genealogy of particular pieces. And that's when I discovered there wasn't enough band books around to see, you know, how things change. One of the Gruffieux marches, the very famous one, is Washington Grays. And I think it was written for the 8th Regiment in New York. And there is a very pristine version of it that shows up in the 26th North Carolina books. Actually, all of the articulations and everything, as things get copied, you know, it's like, you know, someone adds their own articulations or miscopies a note or something. You know, it's late at night, they can't see by candlelight or something. But I've always... I thought it'd be a good idea sometime to take that particular version and with the articulations and everything and make a larger version. That's Washington Grays is one of those marches that's been in existence. It's written before the Civil War, shortly before, but it's one of those marches that's continuously played. Actually shows up in the Foot Guards bands in London with the Household Division.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the other... composers that I deal with is Christopher Ely, who's an English composer. Well, he's actually German, but he was the first bandmaster of the Coldstream Guards. His Duke of York's March has been continuously played since 1785. So there are a few marches that they really get caught up in everybody's mind and, mm-hmm. and continue forever. And Washington Grays by Gruffieux is the one that he's known for, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fabulous, because we should talk a little bit about the second portion of the program. I'm noticing Hymn to the Fallen from Saving Private Ryan was written by the John Williams.
Yes, the John Williams. I don't normally do film scores and Broadway shows and whatnot, but it's a very moving piece, and I thought that it fit into our tribute to veterans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fabulous movie, if I can... allowed to be a movie critic,
mm-hmm.
And so I thought it fit into the program, the second half, which is honoring all of our veterans.
Great.
And the Homefront Musical Memories from World War II, is that piece also a kind of collage?
It's a collage of pieces. Yeah. Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree.
Okay.
See if I can remember some of the other ones in there. Thanks for the Memories. Mm-hmm. It's the songs from the 1940s that our Second World War veterans will recognize as being, you know, very prominent during that particular time. Right. And I think it's sort of appropriate to play because we're reaching that point where the Second War veterans won't be with us much longer. My father's 92, was in the Navy during the Second World War. And so we're looking at a time to, we won't have many of them left.
Mm. Right. And we're looking at the strain of the music here. Strain is the wrong word, but we're looking at the music here, and I'm thinking wind ensemble. Well, that must eliminate Strauss and Mozart and all those other classical composers.
No, the whole concept of the wind ensemble was that you could play any piece for winds. The wind ensemble is a very flexible group. We don't play with a set instrumentation. So we could play the Mozart Grand Partita, or we could play a Susan March, or we could play some of the Maslenka things, which are huge forces. David Maslenka was in Brooklyn, New York. He now lives in Montana. Has written some pieces that require about 90 wind players. So it's the idea is just be able to play whatever piece you want to play.
Great flexibility.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. And Lehigh's, I didn't realize this, the Lehigh Wind Ensemble, roughly 50 students.
You're about 50 players.
And you were saying only two of them, well, and partly because of the culture and what we were discussing with dual majors at Lehigh, et cetera, but only two formally declared music majors.
We think of Lehigh as an engineering school.
Well,
in fact,
it is.
Well,
I'm
very fortunate to have many engineers in my wind ensemble. They're very smart and they're wonderful to work with. They're very dedicated to music. And that's what Lehigh has tried to do, is to make music available for all students, not just people that are music majors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've been pretty successful at it. All of the groups in the choral program, in the jazz program, in the philharmonic program, we've tried to bring in as many students from all of the colleges of the university that want to play and give them a place to, you know, express themselves musically.
And you were saying that's unique in some ways as opposed to some of the other campuses that we can think of with
it is, you
with
know,
science
if,
or engineering businesses.
You know, I shouldn't name any colleges, I won't. But, you know, this is one of the points that we try to make to prospective students that, mm-hmm. you know, if you're really a dedicated musician but you don't want music to be your career, your livelihood, then when you're looking at schools, you need to look at the opportunities to play. And Lehigh affords all students an opportunity to play music at a very high level.
Right. And, in fact, a recording level. You've recorded a couple of CDs.
The Wind Ensemble has done 10 CDs.
10 CDs, okay.
We've had some very famous ones. Fortunately, we were the commemorative CD for the 400th anniversary of Jamestown.
That's right.
We have our own Civil War one called Echoes of Glory, which is very nice, which we did in 2003.
All right.
Even before, I think, the sesquicentennial was on our radar as something to commemorate. And we have our classical American composers CD. And so, you know, we've been very lucky.
It must be wonderful for the students.
I'm very lucky to have such great students to work with. I really am.
The Echoes of Glory CD is what we heard a little bit of coming back from the break a few moments ago. Yes.
Yes. One of the things, too, that I'm going to be very excited about is to sit. I'd love to sit, you know, at an ensemble, at a wind ensemble, any music, actually, and listen for particular sounds of the particular instrument. And I know we talked about the harmonica. We won't find any of those or kazoos.
No.
Or kazoos.
Not this concert.
No.
But I am looking forward to the euphonium.
Okay. I have three wonderful euphonium players.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And actually, we're doing the Northampton March, which you brought up earlier.
Yeah.
And Thomas Coates is thought of as being the inventor of the counter melody.
Okay.
For marches, and very early on, he's the first to really come up with the idea of a second melody going on with the main melody, and so that's usually in the euphoniums, and so they start off the program with a very important part.
Very good. Well, we're looking forward to the Wind Ensemble at Lehigh University, David B. Diggs, director, May 3rd, 3 p.m. at Baker Hall at Lehigh University. Heroes All is the name of the piece, and you'll want to be there. So I thank you very much for with us, David. And special thanks to our technical engineer, Steve Aronson, who remains our hero of the Lehigh Valley Art Salon. And I want to thank him for his continuously perfected control of the airways, in addition to his ability to master the flow of hot air that comes out of this particular host. Yours truly. Thanks, Uncle Stevie.
Thank you again, David.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.